Did anybody take any baby steps last week? All right. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. All right, everybody there? All right. And it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Paul, and I'll just go into a little bit about Paul. He was a very intelligent man. He was raised under one of the most prominent rabbis of the time from when he was younger. So he was a Jew, and he was a Roman citizen. Two of the very best things that you could be. With being a Roman citizen, he had a lot of privileges. With being Jewish, he had a lot of privileges, and that garnered a lot of respect in and of itself. Paul was very much passionate about the Jewish traditions. So much so that he did everything he could to preserve Jewish tradition and making sure that if you were a Jew, that you did things the right way according to every letter of the Jewish law. That was his passion. So much so that he persecuted the new church, okay, because Jesus had he was crucified, and now the word was beginning to spread that he showed himself alive again. So there was this whole gospel based upon Jesus being alive again and him being exactly who he said he was, the Messiah, the risen God. Amen. Paul took issue with that, because that didn't line up with Jewish law that he had spent many, many, many years of his life learning. According to Jewish law, it was a curse to be hung on a tree. Jesus was crucified on a tree. Paul took issue with that. Now, God talks about being lukewarm. He says, I would rather you be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. We were given our personality traits for a reason. After you get saved, there are certain things that you feel that you shouldn't do anymore, and certain things that you feel that you shouldn't say. There are certain things about you that you question, because when you got saved, you didn't have it all figured out. You were just learning, and you want to be yourself, but you don't know what part of yourself is appropriate now that you're saved. Paul was a problem. Paul was a disruption. When you saw Paul, it was a problem, especially if you were with this new beginning church movement. You saw Paul, you didn't know whether that meant you were going to die or whether that meant he was going to bind you and put you in prison, because that's what he did. But something really important happened to Paul. As we read on, I'm going to stay in Acts chapter 9 and start at verse 3. It said, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." The foundation of this new church was Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, and we're the body. So when you persecute the church, you're persecuting Jesus. When you persecute Jesus, you're persecuting the church, because we are one. We are the same body. The question that Jesus posed, he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Which is an important question, but what's just as important as what Jesus didn't ask him. He never said, "Saul, why are you so aggressive? Why are you so disruptive? Why are you such a disturbance? Why are you so angry? Why are you so zealous?" The reason is because God made him that way. Does anybody have a stick? I left my stick in the car. I had an illustration. Like, I have one. See, the issue about being lukewarm is this. Here, this side of the stick, you have hot. This is where the wick is, okay? How appropriate. This is hot. This is cold, okay? This is Christ. Like, say I'm Christ. Now, if you are hot, you're all good. These are seasoned Christians. Everything is good, so you're growing in Christ. Now, you have people on the very opposite end of the spectrum. These people are cold. Cold meaning they have no clue what's going on. They are ignorant. It's nothing wrong with being ignorant. It's something wrong with being stupid. But being ignorant just means you just don't know. However, they have found they have things that they are passionate about. There are a lot of hardworking, you know, good-natured people. They just don't know. So that's your cold side. See, the danger with being lukewarm is that when God takes a Saul who is cold, who is totally off base and against Christ's mission, all he has to do is take the cold side and flip it around. But what happens with the lukewarm is no matter how many times it gets flipped, they're always going to be stuck in the middle. You hear the song, "It's too high to get over, it's too low to get under, you're stuck in the middle." If you're lukewarm, you're indifferent, you're indecisive, you're not fully persuaded, so you're always going to be stuck in the middle. The hot is fine. The cold, all he had to do is flip Saul around. Now you're Paul, and now you're right where you need to be. Our issues is that we're not taking it serious. Like, we're not passionate about anything. We're not hot or cold. We have learned some things and we've heard some things, but just, I'm talking Christians as a whole, they're stuck in the middle. Like, you never know what you're going to get. When somebody says, you know, I'm a Christian, you just don't know what that means anymore nowadays. A man could walk up to me and tell me that he's a Christian. I'm like, who's that, your boyfriend with you? I mean, you just don't know. He's a Christian. Oh, all right. You know, whatever you say, that's not my business. But you just never know what you're going to get. One thing, and I'll say this. See, Paul was chosen because he was excellent. Not necessarily because he knew everything. Not because he was on the right track, because clearly he wasn't. Not because, you know, he spoke well. Who was it, Moses, that said, man, I don't speak very well. But you got to understand, when God is looking for a chosen few to represent him, he's looking for people who have the work ethic, who have the spirit of excellence. Not the brightest, not the smartest. But see, here's the thing. If no matter whether you're on track or off track, if you work hard, you will be able to transition into what God is trying to do. You'll be able to get it because you have a sense of what it takes to win. You have a sense of the work that has to go into something to make things happen. So when God took Saul, see, Saul, he was driven. He was far from lazy. He was merciless. He worked tirelessly to further and expose people to true Jewish tradition. And so God says, you know what? You almost there. All I got to do is just flip you to this side, and I don't have to explain to you about working hard. I don't have to explain to you what it's like to lose sleep. I don't have to explain to you what it's like to be persecuted for taking a stand. You already get it. Peter, a fisherman, that's how he lived. See, if you're going to catch fish and you're going to use those fish to support yourself, if that's going to be your livelihood, you got to get up early in the morning when the fish are biting. You got to know what you're doing. You can't have a bad day at the lake because that's how you eat. That's why Jesus, all Jesus had to say is, hey man, I want to make you fishers of men. See, they understood what it was like to be excellent. They lived and supported themselves off of fishing. So they knew what it took to be excellent at that. And he said, I want you to just take what you know in the natural and transition it over to the spiritual. I want you to go from your mission, which you know very well, to my mission, which is exactly the same, pretty much. There's a few different things that you need to learn, but you already know what it takes because of what you're doing in the natural. So when I say I want to make you fishers of men, you're like, okay, all right, I get that. I catch fish, catch men, catch, okay. How do we go about it? We're ready. We know what it takes. Being last week, I talked about excellence, okay? And when you study excellence in the Bible, you gotta be prepared for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And last week, it was all good. You know, the testimonies. When you do your job as unto the Lord, he rewards you. That's a no-brainer. So, yes, you know, there will be promotions. There will be people will extend your responsibilities because the world, again, is not stupid. If you got somebody that's doing the work, you promote them. And hopefully it's contagious. You know, the best thing you can do is put them over the unit. The best thing you can do is make them a supervisor because maybe they can provide that same culture and that same drive and extend it to, you know, your other employees. That's the good. But when you, man, being excellent, number one, it's not easy, and it's not something to be taken lightly. When you look at the different examples, see, it's not all good. In the Bible, there are so many examples of where being excellent has cost someone their lives. You know, Paul, he was arguably one of the quote unquote greatest apostles of that era. And a lot of people were saved, and a lot of people got to know Christ because of Paul's tireless labor, because of the persecution he endured, because of being jailed and being beaten. Gandhi says, there's a quote from Gandhi. He says, first they will ignore you, and get this, this is important. First they will ignore you, then they will laugh at you, then they will fight you, and then you will win. When this little movement was happening, and at first, how many different, even in this new day and time, how many, within the past 10 years, how many of these new movements have sprung up and all of a sudden come to the forefront or some sort of prominence? You've got Scientology, and then, you know, there was this, you know, Pentecostal movement, and then there was an emphasis on tongues, and then there was an emphasis on, you know, this or that, and divine design, intelligent design of the, all this kinds of. See, when the church came about, when the message of Christ and him crucified started, nobody cared. When Christ was the carpenter, you know, and he, you know, dabbled a little bit at the synagogue, nobody really cared. They ignored him because it wasn't a big deal. First they ignore you. Then as it spread, and all right, they're seeing him do some curious things, like he's doing some excellent things. He's teaching as someone that has authority. I remember when he went to heal the man's daughter, and he was like, she was dead, no doubt about it. And he's like, nah, she's just sleeping. See, it was funny. See, they start mocking him. They mocked Paul. Because it's funny. First, it wasn't anything to even pay attention to. And you see him, and he's getting a little bit of a follow. Oh, look at the carpenter's son. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? Whatever, dude. First, they ignore you. Then they laugh at you. Then they fought him. Because see, this, at this point, he was a problem. Because now the emphasis wasn't on the authorities anymore. It was on Christ and him being the Son of God. And his power was on display. And now this is something that people are starting to take hold of. And that's why they tried to take hold of him. Because now this is getting kind of crazy. He's threatening our authority. So now we're going to fight him. And they fought him to the point where he allowed himself to be crucified. And that's when he won. See, when he said, do likewise, and the greater works will ye do. See, the story is out there. The good, the bad, and the ugly, it's out there. But a lot of times, that's not really the part that we focus on, you know. And don't get me wrong, I love a raise. And I love somebody's promotion, you know, whether it's mine or yours. I'm all in. Okay. But please believe me that there's going to come a time where, see, some good stuff has happened to you, right? And you thought that everybody was going to be happy about it. If you've lived some years on this earth, it's been times where you've had good news and people that you thought were going to be happy about it weren't. When you got a promotion and all of your coworkers, when y'all were on the same level, were cool and you got invited out, you know, on lunch break, and then you got the promotion, and then all of a sudden it wasn't cool anymore. But see, this is the cost of excellence. I was talking to Will before church, and I said, Will, this ain't for everybody, because it's not a game. Like, this walk ain't for everybody. He said, many are called, but you have a decision. Are you going to be chosen or not? You are chosen based upon the excellence that you display. You're chosen based on the discipline, the level of passion you have in your life. That's what Christ is looking for. That's why the Pauls exist. That's why the Moses exist, the Davids, the Joshuas. These are people who already knew what excellence was about. They just had to be turned over and given the right direction. So there's going to be times where it's going to be cool at first. You get your, you know, your promotion, and it's cool long as you don't go up too high. You start going up too high. See, the air is different up here. When you get to a certain level, like, it's just different. Like, and it ain't cool with people. It ain't sweet, you know? So you keep leveling up, and then you start losing friends, and then they didn't necessarily say they weren't cool with you, but we ain't talking no more. So obviously something changed. I didn't change. What happened? Family members, and it's not restricted to just coworkers. It's family. And so you got to be ready for that. Like, you got to be ready to make a phone call and nobody picks up. Nobody wants to hear that you got a raise all the time. You know, you think they do, but they don't. Then you got to be ready for people going behind your back and trying to fight you. When, don't tell people that you're trying to get your nutritional life in order. Don't tell people that, because they're going to laugh, whether they do it to your face or behind your back. First, they're going to ignore you. Yeah, whatever. Everybody's on a diet. You know, I got you. Keep up the good work. Good luck with that. And when, what happens is, when you start bringing in your little rabbit food or whatever, your bowl of salad, then it's funny. What is that? You know, oh, you going to have like air with a side of air today? Or like, all right, whatever, that's crazy. Like, you can't survive off of that. Like, what are you doing? Like, are you serious about this? And it's funny. And then when the pounds start dropping off, then it's like, oh, we can't tell you nothing now. I see you. And it's, okay, that stuff ain't sustainable. That ain't gonna work. You know, and then you start, it's the same with promotions. Like, oh, you haven't changed, but you think you're somebody now. See, that's that fighting. That's ugly. That's the ugliness that comes along with being excellent. Oh, okay, since you got the new job now, you don't come around no more. You're like, yeah, dude, my address hasn't changed. Like, what are y'all talking about? Then you win. And then you win. I talked last week about how you get a platform, you know, you get an opportunity. When you win, you start being able to tell people how to win as well. And I didn't plan on being long, but I do want to say, like, it's you want everybody to, I guess, enjoy what you enjoy, or to learn what you learn or to partake in what you partake in, just as Jesus was. You know, he wanted everybody to do well. But when you go outside, you know, one thing he said is that this world isn't getting any better. And there's going to always be a separation between those who are excellent and those who are disciplined and those who have a passion for what they do. There's going to be a demarcation between those people who do it with their whole heart and those who don't, because the world is never going to get any better. What ends up happening is that you literally become a walking mirror. You become a flashlight. When you come around, it's going to automatically show people where they're falling short. And you're not doing it on purpose. But this is where that fight comes. See, Paul, when we might as well go to it. Go to Acts chapter 17. Forgot I had that down. Acts chapter 17, verse 32. And I get it. But this is just, it's just not for everybody, you know. And let me see, Acts 17 and start at 32. And this is what Paul is doing now. And see, this is what you got to be prepared for, because I know everybody here is, you know, of the same mindset and doing the same things and growing as well. But this is what you got to be prepared for. And it's going to hurt. It does hurt. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. No surprise there. And others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. See, you're going to, when you walk around, when you start doing the right things and seeking to be excellent and putting your whole heart into stuff like you're working for God, you're going to offend some people, because they're going to look at you and immediately see where they fall short. They're going to immediately see, oh man, I need to tighten up on this. You're going to come in looking good. You're going to have your outfit together. I need to get me some new clothes. Like my, you're going to get the promotion, and you're going to be coming to work early, being excellent, staying late when you have to. And they're going to say, man, some of them are going to say, man, I gotta tighten up. Like, I gotta tighten up. And then they're going to cleave to you in that sense. They're going to respect you, but some of them aren't. Some of them are going to be offended, and that's just life. Like it's different up here. Like it's different, you know. That's just how things are going to be, and you got to be prepared either way. I don't know whether next Sunday is going to hinge off of excellence or not, but I do, you know, as I learn this stuff and as God deals with me and teaches me and chastises me, I do want us to get it. You know, I do want us to get there. I see the church going in so many, you know, in not many directions, but making so many strides, and we're growing. It's exponentially, you know, everything is happening so fast, and I just want us to get it. Like, I want myself to get it. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this, just your word. I thank you